It's the podcast equivalent of the blue spiny shell. This is Nerd Rage, the Great Debates. Coming at you live from our respective homes, you're listening to Nerd Rage, the Great Debates, the podcast typically recorded at our own studio in Silent Hill. I'm your host and moderator, Mark Abrigo, and on this episode, we are continuing our Tournament of Champions as we are with our second conference here, specifically talking games and video games. We've got four really funny folks here to talk about some of their favorite video games slash games. And we're moving on. You might have heard last week, we finished off our television and cartoons bracket. And again, we're talking nothing but games. So all you game nerds out there, this is the show for you. If this is your first show and you end up liking what you hear, head over to nerdragepodcast.com for more episodes. And if you really like what you hear, send us some money to our Patreon at komed.io so that we can move forward or move on from our cardboard belts, as our current champion, Rick Scott Stoner, said, to something a little nicer. Maybe like aluminum foil and, I don't know, nicer cardboard? I don't know how that works. But we've got some very funny folks here, and we're just going to go ahead and introduce them now. For this first part of the conference, we've got, I love this because the name is already really funny to me. We've got somebody coming. He's the co-creator, rather, of the Temple Pit Mortal Kombat community. This is his first Nerd Rage appearance. Give it up for Boone Ashlock. Boone, are you here?
I'm here. And yeah, I was co-creator of the Temple Pit Mortal Kombat community.
What is that? Can you let us know?
We were the home of a lot of Nerd Rage and a lot of great debates, mostly about the history of Mortal Kombat, especially with things like, is Shao Kahn actually Rico? How many Sub-Zeros were there really? Is anybody a ninja other than Scorpion? No, Scorpion is the only ninja in Mortal Kombat.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And so is it any surprise that you will be representing Mortal Kombat this time around?
I'm not representing Mortal Kombat. I'm the champion of Mortal Kombat, and soon I'll be the champion of more Nerd Rage and great debates.
Nice. The reason why I thought this was so funny is because obviously your name is Boone. Is this something that, like, when you got into Mortal Kombat, you're like, oh my God, this is my namesake. I'm ready.
I actually hate Ed Boon. I'm a fan of the other co-creator, John Tobias, who left after during Mortal Kombat Special Forces.
Okay, without getting too much into the drama then, are you the true Boon then of Mortal Kombat lore?
True Boon man of Mortal Kombat lore and of Hood Slam.
Nice. Excellent. Now, real quick, at Hood Slam, of course, the Bay Area's most raucous wrestling promotion you'll ever see. Are you a performer for Hood Slam, sir?
I am. Yeah. I've been working for them for the last year and a half.
And how might we know you in the ring?
Originally, it was Sweet Boone until my dog died. And after my dog died, I became sour Boone.
So now, I mentioned this before when Sheik was on the last episode. Were you on the event where we did the video game night where Sheik was dressed up as Jill Valentine?
Yes, I was.
Were you one of the folks who was shot up with the machine gun?
I was not.
Who were you on that show?
I was doing lots of other shooting. I was representing Red Dead Redemption.
Oh, that's right. At the end, who was it? So they do a lot of really fun stuff over at Hood Slam. And if I'm not mistaken, the wrestler who was portraying Arthur Morgan died of tuberculosis in the middle of the ring.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went back to watch that last night, as last night was my 4-year anniversary of working professional matches.
Uh-huh.
And if you go back and watch it, you could just sub out tuberculosis with COVID and it becomes timely again.
Nice. Well, it's great to have you here. And of course, we're talking Mortal Kombat. I'm sure you've got a lot to say. Mortal Kombat has been a thing for video game fans, obviously, since the 90s. So I'm glad to have you here. Mortal Kombat love is always good with me here. Let's see. And you're going up against somebody who has been on the pod a number of times, both in studio and during our live shows. I compare her laugh because it's very unique. The only way I can describe it is her laugh is the Lex Luthor to Becca Henry's Superman laugh. Like, they are both it is. See what I'm talking about? Like, it's... Everybody give it up for Ivy Vasquez. Hey, Ivy, how you doing?
Hi. That was ridiculous.
When I hear you laugh in earnest, like, I can always imagine lightning flashing in the background. And snow.
It's a very villainous laugh, I know.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, you're going to be representing another well-loved series in all of video gamedom. What are we talking here, Ivy?
Final Fantasy.
And specifically, which one? Because you mentioned this off mic.
I would like to have a high focus on Final Fantasy VIII, the underdog of the series.
Do you hold any negative feelings towards VII for taking all the shine, or are you a fan of that one too?
I never got to play VII, so I am indifferent.
Got it.
You know what? Final Fantasy VIII is actually my favorite Final Fantasy, and I didn't play VII a little bit until after VIII.
Yeah, so you hear that, Stephen Koo? If you're out there, next time we do a live show, you're going to have to cosplay as a Final Fantasy VIII character. No more of this Tifa Cloud nonsense. Yes, for those that don't know, at one of our live shows, Stephen dressed up as both Tifa and then another show as Cloud. And I think I confused your Cloud cosplay for a Yu-Gi-Oh!, of which I still don't apologize. But it was really fun. So, anyway, we're going to go ahead and talk Mortal Kombat versus Final Fantasy here. For those that don't know how this works, let's go ahead and get some sound effects playing here. When a debate starts, you'll hear this. When they've got 10 seconds left, you'll hear this. And when they're done, you'll hear this. Now, because of the Tournament of Champions, there are some different time constraints here. So each debater will have 1 minute to make their case and then 1 minute to make their rebuttal. And then whoever wins this one will move on to face the winner of our next debate on this episode. And whoever wins that will be representing this conference. So let's go into it with Boone here. Boone, you've got 60 seconds on the clock to talk Mortal Kombat, and we're going to hear from you in 3, 2, and 1.
I want to focus on the big picture. I want to focus on world impacts. We're living a hot time, but Mortal Kombat made a huge world impact when it was the reason the rating system from ESRB was introduced. Final Fantasy, no world impact, no lasting legacy. In fact, they kept calling it the Final Fantasy, but they just kept on making it for some reason. Mortal Kombat spawned 2 movies, not including the animated ones, comic book series, soundtracks, which is probably the only good thing we can say about Final Fantasy, and has left a legacy of violence and nerddom all across the world. Mortal Kombat is more than just violence, though. It has a great story, which I know my opponent can, you know, appreciate with all her reading that she has to do in her game, just reading and reading and reading and reading and reading a book and reading a book. And then watching, I got 10 seconds left. I'll make it short. I don't want to talk about your ex, but I'm going to bring them up. Final Fantasy X sold 8.5. Mortal Kombat X sold 11 million copies.
Nice. All right. Boone going right for the numbers argument here. Real quick, Boone, what's your favorite fatality of all time?
The spine rip. And I like when Sub-Zero breaks him in half. Half.
Classic. Love that one. Spine Rip was the first fatality I ever pulled off and got some nostalgia for there. But Final Fantasy VIII was the first Final Fantasy that I played. And it was, I'll say this, Zell is like my spirit animal. I love that character so much. So Ivy, I'm not saying go with just Zell arguments, but you know what? I'll let you do your thing. Ivy, 60 seconds on the clock in 3, 2, and 1.
I'm really sorry to hear, Boone, that most of the people who bought that are just probably illiterate. can't read. If they bought Final Fantasy, they would learn how to read. My friend literally taught himself how to read by playing Final Fantasy. And I have to say, it has extended my vocabulary. When I was a youngin' and I was playing Final Fantasy VIII, I didn't know what confiscated meant until Zell got his hoverboard confiscated from him by the garden staff. Anyway, let's move on to the dynamics of the game that people like to knock on. The junction system, is it complicated? Yes, but it is invaluable. Oh, God, yes. And if you can get past the complication of it, you're just like this fucking powerhouse bitch junctioning Ultima and life like a motherfucker. And it's amazing. The game also supports breaking toxic masculinity because let's admit it, Squall's an asshole who doesn't know how to talk about his feelings. And his friends help him through it because there's so many strong women in the game supporting him out of his toxic behaviors. Boom.
Nice, Ivy. Okay, in the same vein as the favorite fatality, Ivy, what's your favorite summon in Final Fantasy VIII?
In Final Fantasy VIII, I've always been a big fan of Leviathan.
Yes, the Leviathan one was really cool too. All right, let's see. Boone, you heard everything that Ivy had to say. It's time for rebuttals. You've got 60 seconds on the clock. She ended with the boom. Hopefully we can end with something similar here on your behalf. Hearing from Boone Ashlock talking Mortal Kombat in 3, 2, and 1.
You know, I heard everything she wanted to say, but I didn't hear the things she didn't want to say. That was about the card game. Why don't you talk a little bit about the card game? Huh? Didn't mention that wonderful card game we all had to play. No, it's the truth, but it's actually my favorite part of the game. That's actually probably where I spent most of my time in that game was playing the card game, not because I was illiterate, because I read lots of Mortal Kombat storylines. It's a very deep game. But because it was the only part that could actually entertain me, where I didn't have to just battle random monsters again and again to level up. But I'll level up here, and we'll talk about strong women. There's no woman stronger than Shiva. Forearms can lift anything. Nobody in Final Fantasy was that strong. But you might be able to call one of your guardians and come and try to help you win this match against me. Because Mortal Kombat made a great impact on my life. It made me a great artist, made me a great reader, in fact, because the Temple community, very stressed, good punctuation, and full sentences.
Excellent. Oh, boy. The punctuation argument is always a crafty one. I'm a big fan of that one. So Shiva, it's funny because I hear a lot of people who don't like the Shiva character, but I feel like Shiva's always been pretty cool.
I love playing as Shiva in Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 because she's ranked in as one of the lower tier characters. But if you can beat somebody with Shiva, then you can really show that you're the stronger one.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. See, that's why I play as Dan in Street Fighter and why in Comedio I consider myself the Dan of the group. So let's see. Thank you very much, Boone. We'll throw it back over to Ivy here. Ivy, you heard what Boone had to say. We've got 60 seconds on the clock here for you for your rebuttal in 3, 2, and 1.
That was less of a rebuttal and more of an assist. Of course, that game is amazing. They even have like a fucking side website that's just dedicated so you can keep playing that card game past Final Fantasy VIII. Not a big deal. And of course, Shiva's tight as fuck. She's blue and she likes ice. And so there's also a lot of non-binary characters and queer people represented in the Final Fantasy series. Specifically in FF8, there is Adele, who is considered a sorceress. But again, non-binary. In Final Fantasy IX, there's Queen of Quen, non-binary. Final Fantasy XV, there's same-sex marriage. In Final Fantasy X, Tidus is considered bisexual. Brother and Waka are considered either gay or pansexual. And in Final Fantasy V, Ferris was born female but raised male by pirates. Hello. So non-binary or gender fluid, if you will. And then Bartz was also a supposed gay or bisexual character. Also, a continuous theme in Final Fantasy is question authority. Always fuck the police.
Thank you very much, Ivy. Ivy, what position would you have played if you were a Blitzball player?
I don't fucking know, dude. I don't like to swim that much.
That's great. Okay. Well, it sounds like both of you obviously had your arguments in right next to you there. Thank you very much for that. Let's throw it over to the chat and see who won this one. Already, we've got a mention of Howard Zinn. Thank you, Wonder Dave. Hold on. Let's see what's going on here. After tabulating the votes here, We're looking at it, and it looks like Ivy won this one, but just by a hair. Boone, there is nothing to be ashamed about here. You absolutely killed it in that debate. I think we just had more of a Final Fantasy crowd in the house. Ivy, that was really good, too. It, definitely you guys came with the fire. So just real quick, kudos to you both here. Boone, unfortunately, we're going to have to let you go here. Anything you want to say to Ivy, and then anything you want to plug?
Just that I'm voting for Molly every single round. That's all I want to say. And also go to rock_bottom_fitness, because that's a thing. And check out Hood Slam on YouTube, because that's going to be more entertaining than anything Molly's going to say today.
Thank you very much, Boone. All right, Ivy, how do you feel as we move on here?
Thank you so much, everyone, for your considerate votes. And Boone, that was a really fucking good match. And so, like, hands down to you, sir. Thank you so much.
You know, when we can go back to, like, more traditional debates, I'd love to see you two on a team, because I feel like you two might be unstoppable. Just the
Boone, I would love it if we teamed up in the future. Please, please.
That would be so dope. All right. We are going to take a quick break. Ivy, indeed, is going to be moving on, and we're going to get into the next half of this conference right after this.
Hi, I'm Jacob.
And I'm Annie. Have you ever endured a palaver?
Is it good to be the dog's dinner?
Who is this Bob, and why is he your uncle?
For the answers to all these questions, you'll have to listen to our podcast, Boo to a Goose, breaking down British and American expressions and idioms.
We use them, define them, and explain their history, all in a short, digestible format.
So go ahead and check out Boo to a Goose wherever you get your podcasts.
Cheerio!
That means goodbye.
Today, documentary films are experiencing a major renaissance, and for good reason. But why are audiences increasingly choosing fact over fiction?
Is it a dearth of realism, like endless comic book sequels and end-of-the-world action movies? Are viewers choosing authentic storytelling over spectacular visuals and far-fetched plots?
Or maybe it's because docs f***ing rule. Hi, I'm Parker Romaine.
And I'm George Chen.
And we host SupDoc.
We didn't go to film school. We're just two comedians that dork out on docs.
And since 2015, we've been recapping amazing documentaries with comedians, actors, and filmmakers like legendary comedians Dana Gould and Todd Glass.
Musicians like Yacht and Dan Deacon.
And even media stars like Jesse Thorne and Francesca Fiorentini.
The AV Club called us enlightening, and Boing Boing said, SupDoc is a great idea for a podcast.
So find us wherever you get your podcasts, or join us at supdocpodcast.com.
And follow us on social media at SupDoc Podcast.
And we are back here in Nerd Rage, the Great Debates, where we are in the middle of our games and video games conference for our Tournament of Champions. People fighting for that good old cardboard belt that we're going to gussy up. But we've got two folks here that are representing the second half of this conference. And the first one, first debater that we've got here is somebody who's been on a majority of shows dedicated to RPGs and tabletop RPGs, to the point where they've mentioned a particular game. And I hope that this is going to be the episode where we talk about said game. Give it up for J-Pol. J-Pol, how are you doing?
I'm excited to debate, but life is pain. How are you?
Truer words have never been spoken. I'm going to mirror that. I hide behind my laughter, but I am incredibly sad inside regarding the world. But thankfully, I get to do cool stuff like this with cool people like yourself. And this is an opportunity for you to bring one of your gaming passions to the forefront again, and that's tabletop stuff, right?
Or role-playing in general, yeah.
Sure. And what game are we talking?
We're talking about a game that I mentioned in the alignments episode a while back, which is called Unknown Armies.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this game like more on like the fantasy side of things, more on the sci-fi side of things? What are we looking at here?
It's like a modern occult game.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. And I take it you've been playing it for a long time?
So it's funny, I first heard about it like fucking god 10 like 10 years ago, did like a LARP based on it.
Nice.
And then didn't play it, but got obsessed with it on the internet for a really long time. And sort of like, it was the only thing I was thinking about for a long time. Not the only thing, but it was like really on my mind. And then I finally got a group to play it a few years ago. And we were doing it monthly for a while and the group fell apart. And that's a great sadness of mine, but it's still close to my heart.
I think everybody's got like that role-playing game that they played with friends, and it's got definitely some good memories and stuff attached to it. So I'm glad that we're coming at this with some real passion here, because you're going up against someone who I would say is also very passionate about the games that they play. Everybody, it is, I'll say it like this. If Comedia was the cast of Ghostbusters, or was, this is so dumb. This gentleman here would be the Winston Zadamore of the group. Give it up for Mike Manfred. Hey, Steven, are you facepalming? Hold on. Mike, are you there? Sorry.
I am. I don't know who that is.
Winston from Ghostbusters, man.
Googling real quick. Hold on.
Mike, you don't know who Winston is in Ghostbusters?
I haven't seen Ghostbusters. Oh, wait, Ghostbusters.
Yes, what did you think I said?
I thought you said Scooby-Doo. I didn't sleep last night. Let me...
Ruh-roh.
I'm sorry. Yes, I like this comparison.
Okay, well...
Sorry, my brain is not on right now.
Okay, fine. Well, that intro's fucked up. Regardless, hi, Mike, how are you?
Very tired. I would make coffee, but I'm too tired to make coffee.
All right, you hear that, Jay Pulp? Manfred's tired. I think you might have this one in the bag. All right, Manfred, what are we talking here in terms of your gaming game that you're representing?
Cyberpunk 2077.
Yes, yeah. The game that refuses to release. It has been delayed until November. I think it was originally supposed to come out like 3 months ago, 4 months
ago. It was.
Then September, now it's November.
They delayed it because like 6 months ago, there was a lot of hubbub about gaming industry crunch. So it's a good reason that they bumped it back. I don't want people to be crunched.
Well, how very thematic, because if I'm not mistaken, in one of our previous episodes, you represented The Witcher, which is... another game from CD Projekt Red, right?
Yep. That was their first real big game. And I think I lost that round. So good omens for this round.
Nice. Well, we're going to go ahead and start with J-Pool. Again, you guys know how this works, about how the sound effects and everything are. So J-Pool, we're going to go ahead and get started with you. You'll have 60 seconds on the clock to make your case. Let's hear from you in 3, 2, and 1.
So I'm already on the record on this show of being against alignment systems that sort of like reify like this idea of absolute morality, and to some extent like certain races having particular, it's like weird fucking shit in D&D. None of that shit in Unknown Armies. In Unknown Armies, the thing you pick about your character is the obsession that makes your character unable to live a functional life. Which I just find, like, one, less problematic, but also just more relatable. You're playing a character who's not trying to win, who's not trying to get glory, but rather to, you're just playing to see what kind of shit your character gets into. Unknown Armies is a tabletop game about normal things being the occult. So, like, high finance, the occult. Binge drinking, the occult. A fast food place that's legally different from McDonald's. All the workers are part of a secret cabal that put magic into the food to prevent Y2K, but sadly could not prevent 9/11. There's a lesson there. I think part of why it's fun is sort of like the lens of like someone's doing a ritual to do a thing is like a great thing to map onto the news.
Nice. Well, we're talking occult ritual. Wait, hold on. Did you say something about people putting magic into fast food?
Yeah. So there's a canonical, there's a group in the canon called Mac Attacks, which is a magical cabal of people who work at a restaurant that's legal.
I think we lost you there, J-Pool, but I'm going to assume that you mean McDonald's. I was going to say. Well,
I guess please.
All right, well, we'll give J-Pool some time to come back here. But, Manfred, you heard what J-Pool had to say there. Manfred, we're going to hear from you talking Cyberpunk 2077, which is the year it will probably get released. in three.
Don't take my jokes before I say them.
Oh, son of a bitch. I'm sorry. In 3, 2, and 1.
2077 is a AAA title coming out from CD Projekt Red, who are known for making the critical and commercial acclaimed Witcher series. And I am very excited about it. It's a rad game. I've pre-ordered it, but I'm arguing for it not because of the game, but because it takes place in 2077, which is not 2020. And 2020 is a cursed year. Robots and AI and cybernetics are very swell and all, but my primary purpose or my goal in life right now is to escape this tomb of 2020. I don't know what day it is, but I know that we are in this cursed year. One of the awful things to happen this year, of course, is that Cybertruck 2077 was delayed. I could be playing the video game right now to avoid, you know, everything that is happening this year, but I'm not. And that's just one of the many things that has happened this year, which is why I wish it were 2077 and not 2020.
All right, thank you. Hold on, I think the bell's going to come through. There it is. Mike, I'm sorry, I just looked at the Zoom thing. Are you wrapped up in a blanket right now?
Yes.
And you're wearing a scarf?
It's a keffiyeh, yeah.
You're a fancy bitch over here. Jesus Christ, man. Well, I take it it's cold over in the East Bay.
It's not cold. I'm just tired, and I wish for my bed. So yeah. I moved half of my bed over here.
Nice. All right. Well, so this is weird. Did the occult really kick J-Pole off? I don't see J-Pole on here anymore. Am I tripping? Hey, J-Pole. Hey, no problem. Steve, the first thing Steven said was that the occult got to you.
Yeah.
Well, the good news is that Manfrin basically talked about how 2020 was the cursed year, which is true, and how Cyberpunk is a game that hasn't been released yet. So he's championing a game that has yet to come out. So, J-Pole, let's hear from you. Make in your rebuttal in 3, 2, and 1.
This has been talked about on Twitter already, but Cyberpunk 2077 talks a lot about like transhumanism and like fucking customizability, but it's clearly transhumanism written by cis people, because they were like, oh, you can customize your genitals, but it's like three kinds of genitals, right? It's like vagina, cut penis, uncut penis. It's like, no fucking creativity, no tentacles. What are you talking about? CD Projekt Red is also like known for being shitty to their employees. Like, even though there was the crunch thing, there's the crunch controversy, they're probably still fucking doing crunch. Like, come on. And they're also, I think, known for their conservative political viewpoints within Poland. I don't know. Just personal attacks about CD Projekt Red. When this was pitched, when Mike declared what he was going to be, when Manfred declared what he was going to be arguing for, I thought he was talking about Cyberpunk, the tabletop game. So that's my bad. That's on me. I got confused. Because that's a solid tabletop game. I don't know. I'm probably not going to... Yeah.
No, totally fine, because the thing is, whether or not he's talking about the video game or the board game, the video game has not been released, so technically he has nothing to talk about right now.
Yeah, fuck me for thinking I was going to argue against something that already existed.
Mike, let's hear from you. 60 seconds on the clock in 3, 2, and 1.
Well, regarding the crunch, CD Projekt Red a week ago announced that they were pushing it back again. For similar reasons. So there's, you know, they're at least learning there. Also, CD Projekt Red got started as a demo scene piracy group. So they would make these tiny, tiny, like 4 kilobyte files that would make these amazing visual and audio displays, which I think is really fucking neat. The other great thing about 2077 is that in the year 2077, I'm pretty sure they will have released by then. For marketing purposes, I think that they should have released it then, because it would have been easier, 2077 coming out 2077, but I'm not a business person. Also, 2077 is about as far away from 2020 as I can think of. I don't think there are any other years further away from this year than 2077. So that's another, you know, plus in their favor. And I do admit that 2077 shares two, di- digits with 2020, but I think even a 50% reduction in 2020-ish is, you know, a step in the right direction. So that's really what I'm arguing here.
Mike, I have no idea what you just said, but... But we're, you know what? You stand by it, so I'm going to stand by you. Let's go ahead and throw it over to the chat and see who won this one, whether it was Unknown Armies or a game that is yet to be released to the general public. So, Manfriend, sorry, man. You done got slaughtered. You were a hag, and Geralt just came through and just, you know, got a bounty on you here. How do you feel?
This year, man, it's not even half over. I don't know what day it is, but it's not even this year.
Well, the good news is that you can go and take your nap now, so that's cool.
That is true.
All right. Well, J-Pole, you are moving on, talking about Unknown Armies, where you will be going up against Ivy. And Final Fantasy here. So we've got a battle of magic here, as it were. So, Mike, real quick, before we get out of here, anything you wanted to plug or say to J-Pole?
I would like to plug the year 2021 that is coming up in 6 months and a week.
Nice.
Yes, I wish this year to end.
Well, it's cool, man. Just take your nap. I'm sure, you know, things... Things will be fine. Get another blanket for you, and we should be all good to go. Anyways, we're going to take a quick break, and we are going to go into the finals of this bracket. J-Pole, Ivy, Unknown Armies versus Final Fantasy right after this. And we are back here on Nerd Rage, the Great Debates. We are in the conference finals of the game / video game conference. We've got Ivy Vasquez representing Final Fantasy an emphasis on Final Fantasy VIII, and J-Pole representing Unknown Armies, one of their favorite, or maybe their favorite of all time, tabletop role-playing games here. This should be really fun. We're talking magic. We're talking the occult. We're talking the junction system. And Ivy, we're going to go ahead and start with you. 1 minute on the clock to make your case here and see who moves on. Okay. So Final Fantasy, 60 seconds in 3, 2, and 1.
Hey, y'all. So on my last debate, I left off on saying that Final Fantasy has a continuous theme of questioning authority, which it truly does. Especially if you look at the highlight games of Final Fantasy III and Final Fantasy VII, which is the cult classic fan favorite for a good fucking reason. Let's focus first on Final Fantasy VII, as they just had a beautiful remake that some people like to complain about the fighting system. But as Boone said earlier, who likes leveling up anymore? We want to get to the action, get to the heart of the story, and we want to see our characters in their fullest. In Final Fantasy VII, they were draining the earth of resources. It showed the villainous of corporations, the poisoning of the environment. They were tracking their citizens, all shitty things. Final Fantasy III, they talk about war, genocide, poverty, economic decline, environmental terrorism. So it's acting as a voice for the people and showing the corruptness through a video game? God damn!
Ivy, anytime you end with that laugh, I am just like, okay, there's power in that laugh. If a laugh could have that that BDE, as the kids say, that laugh perhaps has the B-est of the D's. Okay.
Oh my God!
All right, we're going to throw it over to J-Pole real quick. J-Pole, you ready to go?
I guess so.
J-Pole, we're talking Unknown Armies. 3, 2, and 1.
Unknown Armies definitely has a more sort of like metaphorical relationship with the real world as a game that's about real things being the occult. But it draws a lot from sort of like postmodernism and the ideas of like consensus reality, and specifically a lot of Umberto Eco. Umberto Eco, also known for his sort of presentation of the ideological makeup of fascism as like a thing where people sort of self-delude into thinking that their enemies are both too strong and too weak. I think it gives sort of the proper lens for, like, people are doing a lot of little things to eventually try to make a big thing happen, which is what we've seen with the rise of fascism in America. So I would say Unknown Armies actually gives you the, to some extent, gives you the analytical tools to notice what's happening rather than sort of telling you what's happening. Not that telling you what's happening isn't important, because that's also very important. I don't know. I yield my time. Good job.
Oh, yielding time. Let's go ahead. And there we go. Thank you very much, J-Pole. We're going to throw it back to Ivy here. It's funny, because in this debate, we've got a very, like, Antifa, like, through line throughout the whole thing. So this is dope.
Well, Ivy, Antifa would be Final Fantasy VII.
That's a joke that I would make. And yet, when you say it, it's so much funnier than anything I could ever say. All right. Ivy, let's hear from you with your rebuttal in 3, 2, and 1.
First, I want to thank you for your mutual respect and understanding. That was a really great, dissection of everything. But I got to say, too, that aside from, you know, some of, like, the life lessons that Final Fantasy can offer, it really dives deep into personal struggles with, like, identity, with relationships. With just trying to understand, like, what is the right or wrong actions to take. And also, too, they really cover some really beautiful things besides, you know, questioning authority and don't follow religion blindly. They cover some beautiful things like the afterlife, like the very gorgeous game Final Fantasy X. They really go deep into it, and it becomes like this sort of, like, essence of life, and it can really teach, like, death and, like, the after to, you know, younger audiences that might still feel a little caged in about the idea and haven't accepted it quite yet. So there's beautiful qualities to the game as well.
All right, existential dread. Thanks. You know, they're making a Final Fantasy VIII remake.
Yeah, they already did it. It's remastered. I bought it.
Oh no! Wait, are they doing a full on? Mike, is Mike still on? Are they doing a full-on remake, though? Like, as in, is it a remaster or is it full-on remake, Manfred? Do you know?
They only did the remaster. If you're thinking of something like Final Fantasy VII Remake, they still haven't even finished Final Fantasy VII Remake, so it's going to be a long time before they get to Final Fantasy VII.
That's true. What am I talking about? I had a buddy of mine say, hey, Morga, how's Final Fantasy VII? I'm like, I don't know, man. That shit ain't done yet. And he had no idea what I was talking about. He's going to be very disappointed if he thinks it's the whole game. But okay. I know. It's nuts. J-Pol, we're going to throw it back to you here. 60 seconds on the clock for your rebuttal in 3, 2, and 1.
It's good that Final Fantasy is bringing up sort of issues of identity and, like, personal, I don't know, looking into that for yourself. I think my beef, I've only played a few Final Fantasy games, so maybe I'm wrong about this, but it seems like in Final Fantasy, you don't have a lot of, you don't have, like, a full, detailed, meaningful choice as to what your character is going to believe and how they're going to feel. It's more sort of railroading, like, you're seeing characters do that. In Unknown Armies, you're, like, 100%, like, the things you decide are, like, the tensions inside of your character that throughout the course of the game are going to sabotage their life and make them make terrible choices or make them make good choices. Sometimes you rise above all your flaws, but you're centering that. I think for a game about thinking about your identity and ideology and stuff, I think it's important to have meaningful choices and be able to shape that over time. I don't have a lot of other stuff to say, so I'm just gonna sing Hands by Jewel for the rest of my time.
Hold on.
My hands are small, I know, but they're not yours. They are my own.
Okay. You know what's funny, Gabe? I should have asked this at the beginning, but with all the talk about, like, how intricate and how sophisticated sort of, like, the game's view on characters is. Who did you play?
God, it's been a minute. Fuck. Right. I played someone who moved from New York to San Francisco and was an Urbanomancer, which is a person whose magic depends on their relationship to the city they live in. And in fact, if they leave their city or touch real earth, they lose power. And so she had moved from New York to the Bay Area and was, like, dealing with this sort of, like, New York is the best city, but I'm an Urbanomancer, so I have to have a relationship with the city that I actually fucking live in. So this was like a small identity thing of just so like, I'm a New Yorker who's moved to the Bay Area and is complaining about how it's not being New York, but okay. Also struggling with how that affects the core of myself, which affects how I use magic.
Did your magic have better bagels than the magic in San Francisco? Because that's all I hear about New York.
Oh, that would have been good. I think the public transportation definitely came up.
Got it. All right. Sounds good. Well, we're going to throw it over the chat here and we're going to see who moves on and will be representing the game/video games conference. So let's go ahead and check it out. We got our champ right now, our current champion voting for Army Men, which I don't think is the same as Unknown Army, but it's a good game nonetheless. Let's see here. All right. I'm looking at this here. Wait a second. Did Manfred vote for Cyberpunk 2077? You son of a bitch.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Well, it looks like, according to this, we've got just as many Unknown Armies fans as we do Jewel fans. So,
like eight?
Yes. 8,000. Thank you. Guys, keep it up. Keep up the illusion here. But it looks like Unknown Armies won this one. So, J-Pole, you are moving on representing games here, and you, if I'm not mistaken, will be representing Unknown Armies against Dark Sheik's Twin Peaks, which should be very funny.
Oh, awesome. I love this. I'm so excited.
It's going to get mad philosophical and weird and crazy, and I love it. Ivy, is there – first off, great run here. How'd you feel?
That felt really good. That felt very, very, very strong. I actually used to be on my debate team in college.
Oh.
I went to tournaments, so I'm always a big fan to debate.
Awesome. Well, real quick, I know Wonder Dave, who is here on the call too, is in charge of booking. At some point, and I mean this, can we, the next time we have a convention or something, can we please get Boone and Ivy in on a live show, like for to team up or something?
Oh, yes. Good. Thank you.
Let's see. Ivy, J-Pole, anything you two want to plug before we end the episode here?
I'm going to do my plug really fast. I don't have like a ton of stuff going on, but if you check out my Instagram, Ivy League Comedy, I post my Zoom shows on there and like any sketches that I'm recording while in quarantine. And, you know, JP, thank you so much. That was you're such an eloquent speaker. Thank you so much.
coming from you, that means a lot.
J-Pole, anything we want to plug before we get out of here?
Oh, thank you, Ivy. That was, you were like three fucking times as eloquent as me, at least. that was such a nice and fun thing to go on. I don't know. I guess what I want to plug, I don't, my social media is kind of bullshit. I want to plug that the important things that you want to do in your life deserve the gentleness required to actually make you do them, even at the expense of the harshness that supposedly demonstrates that you take them seriously. Marathon, not a sprint, folks. Defund the police, or no, abolish the police. What am I talking about? yeah. From Black Lives Matter to Black Liberation by Kiyonge Mata Taylor is still a very good book.
Boom. Done. Thank you very much, J-Pole.
Sorry. Rock_bottom_fitness for an
episode. Yeah.
No, I seriously mean that. I don't mean that to be an afterthought.
No, not forgetting it. We're loving it here. So, all right. Thank you two very much again. J-Pole will be moving on to take Dark Sheik on in our semifinals, I should say, for this tournament of champions. But that's going to be it from us here. Head over to nerdragepodcast.com for more episodes. KOMED.io, Comedio's website, for our Patreon. Like, review, subscribe, all that fun stuff on Apple Podcasts and anywhere else you can find podcasts. And check out our social media at Nerdrage TGD. Go ahead and check those out. That'll be it from me and on behalf of Will and the rest of the comics here. Thank you very much. This has been Nerdrage, the Great Debates.